Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26, beginning at verse number 1. So those of you who don't know where that is, that's the Old Testament. After Numbers, Deuteronomy. You got it? Still need some time? It's on the screen, all right. And when you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all of the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling place for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him or her, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors to give to you." When the priest take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Armenian was my ancestor. He went down to Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. And when the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with the signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now we bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O God, has given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given you, to you and to your house." Amen. When you get your inheritance, what then? When you get what God, when you get what you've been praying for, what then? When your prayer is finally answered, how do you respond to God? This particular scripture, the Israelites had finally reached the promised land. In the Old Testament, when people, God doesn't usually answer individual prayers in the Old Testament. Usually God answers collective prayers. The prayer of Israel. For us, wouldn't it be nice if we prayed a collective prayer and how God answered the prayers of our people? We could care less what happens to our brothers and sisters as long as God answers our individual prayer. Give me a Lexus. I don't care if they have bus fare. Give me turkey and trimming and a warm roof over my head. It doesn't bother me if the majority of my people are in jail. It doesn't bother me if the majority of my kids are having baby after baby after baby. It doesn't bother me as long as my family is cool. I'm cool. What's wrong with that kind of theology? It's a selfish theology. It's a theology that just says, bless me and mine and the heck with everybody else. How many of you know that we as a people have gone through similar struggles? In this world that we live in, very often when white people look at us, they don't care if you got a PhD or no D. You're just black. They didn't ask Trayvon Martin what kind of education he had. There's some blessings that we get because we're black, and we go through some curses because we're black as well, and how we're treated as a people in this nation. And our ancestors prayed that we would have better days. And some of the things that we receive now, they prayed for 100 years ago. And so when we get to the promised land, what should be our response? Did you get that education because you were so smart? Or did you get that education because your grandmother and your grandfather sacrificed for you? Did you get where you are now because you met the right people, or because God opened a door for you? You think that you're so connected. I'm just so connected. Just happen to be at the right place, and I know Governor Christie, and I know President Barack Obama, and I know Senator Menendez, and you know, I've been around politicians long enough to know half the time they don't even know your name. They got somebody on the ground. Sometimes it's me, and they be saying, "Who is that?" I said, "Oh, that's Jimmy Dye." "Oh, hi, Jimmy, how you doing?" You cannot be connected enough to get all the blessings that God has in store for you unless you're connected to the source, which is Jesus the Christ, that opens doors for us. And you and I need to understand many of the blessings that we have. Now, it's not because of our individual genius, but it's because of the struggle of our people. Our people struggle and sacrifice. Were abused and were scandalized and were killed. And just like the Israelites, God says to us, when you get to your promised land, don't forget how you got there. When you get to your blessings, the first thing you ought not do, you know, sometimes we've been unemployed for I don't know how long. Finally, we get our first paycheck. The first thing we're going to do is go have a drink.
Oh, it's been a struggle.
You're going to go into the bar and set everybody up. You better be taking the 10% and saying, thank you, Jesus, that you brought me through. I thought I was going to lose my mind, but the first priority is to give God some praise and to give God part of that which he's given unto you. And if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I never would have made it.
Then we start acting crazy. You know, we haven't even had bus fare. Now, after two paychecks, we're going to go sign up for a Lexus.
Right. You better pay your rent. First, give God something. Give God 10%. Second, pay your rent. Third, get your bus ticket. And in time, you'll have enough to do some other. Do I have a witness in the house?
Says now, when you come into the promised land, don't forget how you got there. You know, this bothers me about this modern generation. Got black kids who don't even want to remember they're black. Who don't want to remember? You're
making too much of this black stuff. This is a new generation. We got a black president. You also got Mitch McConnell. You also got the Tea Party.
You also got people trying to stop you from voting. You also got people who would love it if you take the midnight train to the moon. You also got people who don't care whether you live or die. They pretend like they want you to be born, but as soon as you get here, they're looking for you. They're not trying to give you any health insurance so you can have an adequate life. And so don't you ever forget that we are connected as a race, and the struggles that our ancestors went through, you and I are the beneficiaries of some of the blessings, and we have to recognize that God has kept us. It's not been a political party. It's not been the Democrats. It's not been the Republicans. It's been God that's made a way for us, and God that opened doors for us. And when you come into your kingdom, you need to remember, go to some place where God's name is recognized. It might be Mount Olive. It might be New Hope. It might be Trinity. It may be Community. I don't know. But wherever God's name is recognized, if you see a steeple and you can't pronounce the name, it might be Raymer. I don't know. You can't pronounce the name. But if you see the steeple, go into the house and give God some thanks for his goodness. And every day is a day of thanksgiving, because he's brought us, he's kept us, and he's made a way for us, and he's opened doors for us when others would close those doors.
It says, you shall take some of your first fruits. You come into your kingdom. Come into that promised land. Take your first fruit. Don't go to Macy's. It ain't about buying no new shoes. It's about having feet to walk. When you come into your blessing, your inheritance, take your first fruit. Don't wait. You know, so we say, well, I'm gonna bless the Lord as soon as I get out of debt. Look at somebody and say, wrong attitude. You wait till you're going to get out of debt. You ain't going to bless the Lord. Yeah, I'm proud of the fact, you know, that I tell you about that book Buster Sorensen wrote. It's a good book. It helped us to almost get out of debt. I brag about the fact that I'm out of debt, but I'm really not out of debt, because I still got a mortgage to pay. That's the biggest debt I got. That one is... I don't even know how many years I got. I don't even like to think about it. So if I waited till that was over to give my first fruits, the fruit would be rotten. It says when you come in, when you find a place where God's name is honored, and then take it to the priest. Find a place and take that first fruit to the priest. But you say, well, I don't like the priest. I don't like Jackson. It's amazing to me how many people think that every dime that you give to Mount Olive that I get. I mean, it's amazing to me. I mean, they think that, you know, Mount Olive's budget is about $1.2 million. Do you think I'd be living where I'm living now? I mean, let's just be real. Do you think I'd be driving what I'm driving now? Whether you like the priest or you don't like the priest, take it to the house where God's name is and give it. Well, you're not giving it to. Present it to the altar. Present it to the trustees. Present it to the altar, to the offices, and worship the Lord. Real worship, John. You really can't worship God and leave your mind at home. Because when you start singing that song about how he's been so good, then you start thinking about, I could have been dead. Should have been dead. Hanging with the wrong crowd. My buddy got killed, but grace spared me.
I've done all kinds of stuff, slept around all over the place, and I'm still safe? Am I talking to anybody? Don't say it yet. This is one of those collective things. You don't have to stand up. You can just say amen as a group, because I'm talking to all of us. But because he's been so good. So when I come into this place, I bring my first fruits. You know, some of us, we want to come in. We want to come in with a praise. And we holler loud, but we don't give sacrificially. How many of you know it goes together? If you want that praise to mean something, then bring your first fruits. Don't bring your leftover rotten fruit. Bring your first fruit and praise him then when you think about it. Because a part of receiving the inheritance is recognizing where it came from. Finally, and I'm going to sit down. Worship is related to understanding where your blessings came from. How many of you, you know, how many of you recognize, some of you young folk, you driving your parents' car? You are 18, 19, driving a Lexus. You don't even have money to fill the tank. Mom, Dad, can I have the car? And by the way, I need $50. Here you are sitting up in the movie, taking some young girl to the movies on borrowed money. You ain't got money enough to buy popcorn and a soda without borrowing it from your mom, dad, granddad, somebody. And then you got the nerve to be sassy. Would you take the garbage out? Ah! Pick up your clothes. I'm talking to me now. So I confess it. Barbara and Monique's not here, but I thought. Don't forget where your blessings come from. I remember that story about, I read some years ago, I've told you this before, about the father took his son to McDonald's and bought him this Happy Meal or whatever, you know, all these supersized, you know, how many, they still have supersized in McDonald's? Supersized fries. And the father said to him, said, "Well, Johnny, can I have a couple of fries?" "No. These are my fries." And the father said, "Boy, I bought those fries for you. I bought the Happy Meal for you. And I'm just asking for a couple." We are just like that little boy. Because God is so good to us, been so good to us, and provides for us, and all he asks for is first fruit. And we are so stingy. We like to come in and we like to get our praise on and shut down our wallets. Sooner or later, God will tell us, shut up. Don't come in trying to convince me how much you love me. And you don't share graciously. When you receive your blessings, and when we receive our blessings, I would love for us to get back to the point where we looked at our collective blessings as a black people, as a black people. I would love for us to be concerned not just about our individual prosperity. I mean, some of you, I've not yet watched that preaching show on Wednesday night. How many of y'all watch that preaching show?
Just lift your hand. Some kind of preaching thing on Wednesday night. What is it? Preachers of L.A. How many of y'all? Come on, fess up. Some of you I've seen it on Facebook, so you might as well get those hands up. I haven't watched. And I have nothing against anybody making a decent salary. I have nothing against that. But there's something wrong. We're more concerned about our personal well-being than the well-being of our people. There's something wrong. Not just preachers either. All of us. And we will scandalize them. We'll scandalize those L.A. preachers. But we ain't no different. And you say, yeah, well, preachers are supposed to be different. We're human beings. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we got the Old Testament concept back again? That God is interested in his people. He's molding and shaping a people to take an inheritance. That he's not God, you know, sometimes we think that God is interested in us individually. And God is, but he's not more interested in you individually than he is and his people. Whenever the people sin, everybody got a whipping. When Israel sinned, everybody got a beating. And you know, white folk pretty much just lived up to that too. Whenever one black person sinned, we all get beat up. Can I get a witness? You let one black guy go out there and do something crazy, we all catch hell. On the other hand, if one of them do something wrong, what? It's that individual.